former University of Arkansas track and field and cross-country coach, John McDonald. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Justin.
How are you, sir?
I'm Dale.
Good morning. It has always struck me, Coach McDonald, bar none, without a doubt, is the most successful coach at the NCAA level of anyone, any sport. Put them all in the salad spinner, and he's still the best.
Mm-hmm.
To me, at the most difficult sport to coach, because I've marveled, Coach, how do you get someone to run faster? I mean, it seems like I can understand in basketball, you can diagram plays, you've got a system. You got a bunch of skinny guys out there who run for days, and somehow you made them better than anyone else in the country.
Well, you know, it's a very diverse sport because so many events.
There's right.
Like 21 events in track and field, and from running the sprint to throwing a distant runner that weighs 120 pounds to a guy that throws a shot that weighs 320. So there's all types of people. So you have to be able to work with, in other words, small guys, fast mm-hmm. guys, slow, strong guys, or mm-hmm. slow. I shouldn't say slow anymore. Everybody, they're all quick, but they're big guys.
Coach, in that same vein, I was going to ask you about recruiting because we talk so much about that in other sports. And when you've got such a diverse group of athletes in so many different disciplines, I got to believe that made recruiting difficult because I know you got some international runners as well, but I'm thinking, maybe you're getting shot putters in one particular region of the country and distance runners from another part of the world. I can't imagine how difficult recruiting had to be for you over your period at Arkansas.
Well, you know, we concentrated basically on distant runners and jumpers, horizontal and vertical jumpers, and hurdlers, and later in my career, sprinters. But basically, we didn't go into too much for sprinters. We had one. We had a few. We had some great quarter milers. We had a guy that ran 44.3, Roddy Haley, but mm-hmm. we didn't deal with a lot of them. We went with the But I consider guys that were consistently good and were very dependable, distant runners and jumpers. And the distant runners did cross country, indoor track and outdoor track. So you got more mileage out of them.
Coach has authored a book called John McDonald. Well, it's a biography. John McDonald, the most successful coach in NCAA history. It had to be an odd feeling, Coach. I mean, when you didn't win a national championship, that was kind of a down year. So that's
after we started winning, it was kind of a. And I had a writer say to me one time we had won about 8 or 9 national championships, and it was 1 year there we didn't win one of them. And he said, "What happened?" Come to expect things, and it was true. You know, he said, "What did happen?" And something did happen. We didn't perform very good. We were a better team than we showed. So, but people expect that once you get up there, it doesn't matter what the sport is, they expect you to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
John McDonald.
We did a pretty decent job of staying up there for a good long time.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I would say 42 NCAA championships, 5 triple crowns. 38 old Southwest Conference championships and 46 SEC championships. That's just another day at the office.
It's an awfully good career without a doubt. John McDonald joining us on the Revolution Hotline. And, Coach, as we brought you on, I said you're a man who needs no introduction. Do you ever get bothered by the fact that you still get an introduction every time somebody brings you on?
No, I like it. I want to hear my name right out there.
Coach, I was going to ask, too, again, back to the diversity of the events and there's so many different kinds of disciplines in track and field, that's why I find it so fascinating. Plus, as a guy who competed in track and field growing up but was never very good at anything, I was going to ask you what the hardest one you think is to compete in as far as events go outside of, I would think, like a decathlon or something like that. But I'm saying for any event, what you find that was the hardest and then also what the hardest one was for you to coach.
Well, the most difficult ones are the ones that develop slower are like shot putters and probably distant runners. Mm-hmm. A sprinter are short sprinters. They either have that fast twitch fibers or you don't. Now, you can develop it and fine-tune it, but either you're fast or you're not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they, if you get a good sprinter, he's good as a freshman or definitely a sophomore. He could be a national champion. Where in the other events, it takes a little bit more time. But the sprinter can also get hurt very quickly.
The book is John McDonald, the most successful coach in NCAA history. There is a book signing tomorrow at Go Running, 1819 North Grant Street in Little Rock. And I was going to ask you about the process of putting the biography together, Coach, and how long all that took and what went into to putting this all together, because you've got an elaborate, lengthy history. I imagine it took some time.
Well, it took about 2 years. And I had some help. But again, Andrew Maloney helped me with it, and so it took correcting it and get tracking down people to talk to, you know, former athletes from the very beginning. But Andrew did most of that. But it was not fun, but it was interesting to go back and look at the names and where we started and where we ended up, you know. So it was enjoyable.
I'm curious, Coach. I mean, again, just ticking off the stats here, and you look at all the championships and all the championship teams that you coached, and I know Gary Taylor there at Go Running was an All-American for you. When you started to coach a champion or develop a champion athlete at the university, what's the one characteristic that you think that they all had that kind of spanned all your great runners?
Well, I always felt that you had to have character and dedication, and it's a tough sport. Any sport is tough if it's done correctly. But in distance running, Gary Taylor can tell you that when they were here and Frank O'Mara, we ran up to 120 miles a week. And that's a lot of training, a lot of work, along with going to class and keeping your grades up.
Right.
So it's...
Wait, 120 miles a week?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you doing a week? How many miles did you run this week?
I drive that many miles a week.
That's a lot.
That's it. I mean, are you kidding me? Think about that. That's a massive amount of running.
What was could have back later years... I learned a little bit more. We got it down to 85.
Oh, okay.
85 to 90.
Think about
it's
that.
Still a lot of miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Was that you getting smarter or softer in your old age, Coach?
Smarter.
Okay. John McDonald joining us. And, again, the book available at a book signing. What do you know what the time is tomorrow, Coach, for the book signing at Go Running?
Yeah, I'll be there from 12 o'clock until 4.
12 to 4. Okay, that's a good one.
Autographing books for... all the Hawk fans.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it'll be very well attended. I was going to ask I was just down in New Orleans on spring break with my kids, and we celebrated, among other things, St. Patty's Day down there. Mm-hmm. So I would and ask a man from County Mayo, right. Ireland, do you celebrate St. Patty's Day, or is it just sort of an American abomination of an Irish tradition?
Well, it's more celebrated here than it is in Ireland.
I believe it.
It is celebrated, but not to the extent that it has, like, in Chicago and New York, and where they throw green into the river and all that type of stuff.
Right.
Big time here, yeah.
So what are you doing now? I think I read that you were in Oklahoma now. Is that where you're living?
No. Exactly where I was. Living right here in Fayetteville.
Okay, good.
But I do have a cattle ranch in Oklahoma. I've had it all my career for about 25 years.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Coach John McDonald out in his cattle ranch, working his cattle with
you
a great accent.
Come over and I'll get you a horse, and we'll go out and check them.
So you make the cattle run. Are you out there?
Yeah, we'll make the cattle run. Yeah.
85 miles a week?
Round up.
There you go. How often do you go over there?
That's amazing.
I go once a week.
Oh, okay. So what's the drive from Fayetteville?
It's a little over 100 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, so he could run that. Typically,
yeah.
I know, but they couldn't in a week. I've got guys that probably could run in a day.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Coach, we hear a lot in football and basketball about recruiting, and whenever we're having a down year, it's hard to recruit athletes into Fayetteville, and we hear a lot of excuses. But you put together 42 NCAA championship teams in a sport that, as Justin pointed out, recruiting is a difficult thing. How did you do that? How did you recruit these athletes to the University of Arkansas?
I'm going to tell you, Justin, at the beginning it was tough. We got a lot of no's. Mm-hmm. But after we got the program going, it was a matter of not forgetting what got you there. Mm-hmm. And then if you won a national championship, we enjoyed it for a week, and we got ready for the next one. We didn't celebrate for a whole 6 months or 9 months, which I've seen teams do in different sports. They celebrate the national championship until they realize, oh my gosh, there's another one right around the bend. Mm-hmm. And to stay at the top like we did, it takes a total, 365 days a year. You never let up if you want to stay at the top.
Yeah, I was going to ask too, because you got the indoor season, then the outdoor season, then you got the cross country season. I mean, you're talking about a pretty good period. You're literally competing almost year round.
Well, yes, and those athletes that does that are very dedicated, with a lot of focus on being good, and that's the type of athletes that we ended up getting at Arkansas. Guys that wanted to win, and there's a big difference. Some people like to win, some people have to win, and we got the guys that have to win, and that's won all those national championships.
Coach, most people are familiar with your coaching accomplishments over the years. I was going to ask what kind of athlete you were when you were running in college at, I guess it was Southwestern Louisiana at the time, now Louisiana Lafayette, but I was curious what you competed in, what your events were, and what kind of success you had when you were a college runner.
Well, I was... ran the 1500, back then to the mile, the 2 mile, 3 mile, that wasn't the metric. But I guess I was considered a pretty good runner. I qualified for the Olympics in 1960, I guess my biggest claim to fame was to beat Jim Ryan in 1967 at the Western Relays in Lafayette.
Wow.
And Jim Ryan was, of course, one of the greatest distance runners America ever had, I think, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Great miler.
Who was the great...
That's
amazing.
I'm trying to remember. Was it Sebastian Coe? Was he the great the late 70s, early 80s, or late
70s? Irish English guy. He was a great
English.
So you talked about your formula early on, Coach, with hurdlers, jumpers, and distance runners, and then you also alluded to the fact that you got some of your best sprinters towards the end of your run at Arkansas. What do you attribute that to? I guess really when I think about it, I think Wallace Spearman and Tyson Gay. But how did that come about, getting those guys on campus? For a program that as successful as you were, you weren't known for sprinters first.
Well, I had recruited Wallace Spearman's dad out of Chicago. Back in the late '80s, he came in the same year as Mike Conley, and he was a great sprinter.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course Wallace went to school right here in Fayetteville, and Tyson Gay came from a junior college, and it just happened that we had a good sprint coach at that time, so we got those two guys, and with Wallace, he did everything at the high school, and when he came to Arkansas, he exploded. He was a real talent,
Mm-hmm. Coach, now you can be honest with us now, Coach. When you had these great sprinters, did anyone from the football team, did any football coach walk over and chat with you and say, could that guy catch the football? What do you think?
Oh, yes. Wallace Spearman, I know that... Several of the football coaches wanted him to go out, and he played football for Fayetteville High. But he could have been a great, defensive back, anyways, or receiver. I know mm-hmm. you have to have good hands to be a good receiver, but it'd be hard to cover him. I tell you that.
Yeah, there's an understatement again.
Tyson Gay, for that matter,
Yeah.
Yeah, my gosh, I don't see anybody cover that guy, and I don't see anybody getting away from him either.
Yeah, if he's got the ball, I just kind of dive at it so that way I'm not embarrassed on film.
Yeah, you're not. That's a guy that would never get caught from behind, that's
no,
for sure.
No way.
That's a safe bet.
Not likely.
No. Coach, I, with all the number of athletes' lives you've touched, I can't imagine how difficult it would be, but I'm just curious how much you're able to keep up with and stay in touch with any of your former athletes. I'm assuming they probably reach out to you pretty regularly, but you've touched so many lives over the years, it's got to be tough to keep up with everybody.
It is. You'd like to, and sometimes I think about them, and there's times a kid would call or write me a letter. Usually now they just call or an email or something like that, but it's nice to stay in touch, and a lot of them have. Stayed in touch with me, and that's nice, because we had some great times together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also the mark of a great coach, too. Not just the titles, but you look at the athletes that keep in touch with Coach and the good stories. And when you write a book like this and you begin to look back at all the folks that you touched, as Justin pointed out, and the lives you touched and how they stay in contact with you, that has to be a good feeling to know that you built that kind of bond and you make that kind of commitment to a young person, and it stays with them for the rest of their life.
Well, yes, and like right there in Little Rock, we have Frank Mayer, Gary Taylor, and his wife, of course, Randy Aaron, and then Dr. Anderson, Mark, and Dr. Archer. So we have just a smidge of shoe right there, and they're all sort of coaching and helping the Catholic High.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
They're still involved in the sport.
Coach, you wouldn't know this, but see that the Taylors have a connection here to the station. I have a show on Sunday mornings, and a couple of years ago, it was a couple 3 years ago, now it's about 2 years ago, I had a young producer at the time who, fresh out of college, thought he was somebody, former college athlete, not too bright. His name is R.J. Hawk, and he challenged me to a 5K. And while my body doesn't necessarily look like it, I had run some. To a degree.
Not 120 miles in a week.
Not 120 miles in a week, though. No, not at all. And so this was Catholic High Rocket 5K, and RJ, straight out of a movie scene, Coach, he chose not to train. He didn't really. He just thought, older guy, can take him, no big deal. So their daughter, Jordan, was running in it, so she helped to pace me throughout the entire race, and, of course, I finished way ahead of him.
Well, he was tripped by a wayward child.
Well, here's the thing. This is what happens. I'm at least up, and we're talking a 5K, Coach. I'm a mile ahead of him after the first 2 miles. So he claims he was tripped. He did not finish. He DNF'd and had to be brought up the hill in a golf cart. So that's the difference between go running and RJ Hawk.
Well, as if I didn't know, there was a pretty distinct difference. It's 1819 North Grant Street. Coach is going to be very generous with his time tomorrow, as he has been throughout his career. 12 to 4, you can get over there and get an autograph from not one of, but the greatest coach from a success standpoint in the history of the NCAA. And, Coach, it was a thrill to have you on today. I appreciate it, and look forward to having you in Central Arkansas tomorrow.
Okay, Justin, and we'll probably see you down there, maybe.
Very good. Coach, thank you. Take care.
You're welcome.
What a great accent, too.
What a good sport.
You know? Just a good... Can you imagine? No, all kidding aside. What are you talking about? Yeah, well, we celebrated for about a week, but then we had the indoors, and then we had the cross country.
Well, no, that's it. I mean, it's relentless. Well, then you got... Look, let's... Recruiting.
Right.
I mean, training in between. I mean, not to mention he was probably helping the athletes get ready for...
Olympics?
The Olympics. I mean, so...
Yeah. It's amazing. This is amazing.
The Jim Ryan... wasn't Jim Ryan the first guy to break the four-minute mile?
No, you're thinking of someone else.
Who was that? Why do I know Jim Ryan's name? Because I'm not a distance.
He was considered the greatest American distance runner at the time.
Then that must be why.
Yes.
What was the guy's name that broke the mile the first time?
Jim.
Not to forget, Jim Fix, who was a running.
He was
guru back in the day.
Yeah, he died, of course, of a heart attack.
Yes.
It's a British guy.
When he was running.
It's a British guy that broke the 4 minute mile. Can't think of it.
I can't either. It really bugs me.
Yeah, dead air.
I'm really disappointed.
Right. You would think, right? You're looking at me, and I'm letting you down. Jim.
I can't think of
Jim Neighbors?
Nope.
Was it Jim Neighbors? I don't think it was Jim Neighbors.
No.